talking with John this morning, and I told him, I said I wasn't going to preach, so we're going to call this an extended devotional. Just a few thoughts to lead us into our time of visioning and just kind of get set up for what we'll be doing. And if you got my email, you know that there's not a plan to this. I mean, this is Holy Spirit led. This is grassroots Friends Church type stuff. We're going to sit and wait on the Lord, and when the Holy Spirit invites or leads us with a word or a thought, just encourage you to share that in the context of where we're going as a church, what God's calling us to do. So I just want to start with just some thoughts to help us kind of get centered. First, I want to talk about the root and the fruit. We need to know the difference between the root of our faith and the fruit of our faith. The root is our justification by the love of Jesus through his life, death, and resurrection. The fruit is our response to that love and justification. And Richard Foster says, as the cross is the sign of submission, so the towel is the sign of service. And you know, we've heard the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. The fact that he came as a suffering servant. And so that's the kind of mindset that he wants the church to embody. And so as we think this morning and pray and ask the Spirit to lead our hearts and our minds as to where the church is being called, it's important to remember that the role of the church is to serve. The role of the church is to love, to share the hope and joy and comfort that we have. And so I want to share a few scriptures. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, one of the things that I think that we might experience during this time, and maybe you've already experienced it during the 42 days of prayer, actually I know some of you have because you've shared it with me, is a sense of being overwhelmed. There are so many ways that we can serve God. There are so many things that our church can do and be involved in that sometimes it seems absolutely overwhelming and we have no idea where to start. And this week as I was reading, I came across a quote by a pastor named Bob Pierce that I thought spoke perfectly to just that feeling of being overwhelmed that we often get. And it says, one of the tools of the enemies or of the enemy is to overwhelm us. And he goes on to say, do not fail to do something just because you can't do everything. Do not fail to do something just because you can't do everything. So we're not called to do everything and to answer every need, not even in our community. But let's not sit back because we can't be involved. We can do something. From Matthew 14, 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. There's a lot of things that we could draw out of this passage when it comes to being the church. The first one is the disciples were worried about the people around them. And I think as a church, we're worried about the people around us. We're concerned. We know as Christians that there has to be a relationship with Jesus Christ in order for this world to not be all there is. That there's an eternity that we're going to pass into. And if we want to spend that eternity with Jesus, it has to be done in the context of relationship. And the disciples were concerned for those around them. And so Jesus says, we don't need to send them away. You feed them. And so the disciples, like a lot of churches, said, but this is all we have. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's barely enough for us. And Jesus says, bring it to me. He's asking us to gather what we have. Maybe it's just 5 loaves and 2 fish, but to gather it up, to offer it to him so that he can break it. When we broke that pot several weeks ago, and by the way, if you have your pieces, you can just leave them on the table as you walk out today, and I'll gather them up. I've got several on my desk already. But when we broke that pot, it was a symbol of our brokenness. None of us are whole apart from Jesus. But when we turn over what we have to him and allow him to, through our brokenness, to work, he can do miracles. He can feed 5,000. He can use Bangor Liberty Friends to impact the communities that we serve in a powerful way and to bring glory to his name, not to our name. What is our portion? What is it that we have in our hands? Who is in our world of influence? What can we do better together? What do we have? What is our 5 loaves and 2 fish? And then from the Gospel of John, when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? As individuals and as the church, it is not for us to ask, what about them? Jesus has a specific mission for Bangor Liberty Friends Church, and it involves feeding his sheep. How that looks for us, we're going to find out. But the role of the church is to represent Jesus in this world, and the way we represent Jesus in this world is by taking care of the sheep. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to the eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So today we're looking for the root that leads to the fruit. How is it that we as Bangor Liberty Friends Church can use both the cross and the towel to love and serve our community in the name of Jesus? What do we have that Jesus can use? What are our 5 loaves and 2 fish? I stole another great insight from Joe's class on Wednesday night. He's been going through his video series, and it's just been really impactful, and last Wednesday really just hit the nail on the head. And as we were watching, the video series is intended for the individual disciple of Jesus, but man, it just translates to the church so well. So I'm just going to share 3 insights from that lesson on Wednesday. First of all, is we need a clear-cut goal to win. What are we trying to win? Win the battle for the souls in our area. To train harder, to run harder, and to compete harder than the other forces that want control of us, our families, our friends, and our neighbors. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. And there are other people competing for our friends and our neighbors and our family members, other forces at work. We have a responsibility to them. So first, we need a clear-cut goal to win. Second, we need to be focused on the prize. The prize is to remain the church, to keep our lampstand, to fulfill our call. In Revelation, when a church was found not to be doing what they were called to do, Jesus threatened to remove their lampstand. The removal of the lampstand does not mean that the individual members of the church were lost or condemned to hell. What it means is that the church would lose its ability to shed the light of the truth. The light of this church would stop shining. They would become a church with no influence or impact spiritually upon the community around. They would be busy doing religious, but entirely irrelevant things. They would still be working, still orthodox, but inconsequential, with no light and no impact. So we have to be focused on the prize, and the prize is to be the church, to keep our impact on the communities that we serve and on the world for the name of Jesus. And then the third point from the Wednesday night lesson was to have an eternal motive, to have an eternal motive. Our actions are not temporary. Our impact or lack of impact on the communities that we serve are eternal. What are we doing to impact eternity for our friends and our neighbors? So you all got the email from me earlier this week, and it's also printed in your bulletin, but I'm just going to go over just a way for us to be led in this time. Again, this is not rigid. This is not, let's follow these things and only do this. This is just a way to get our minds moving, to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in us. So during this time, you're encouraged to share the insights, leadings, and convictions you've experienced during the 42 days of prayer. Today, our focus is on finding a common vision for our church, or in other words, what does God want our church to be known for? It may be helpful to think of it in these terms. We are a church that we are called to. We desire to be known by these attributes. We best serve our community by our church is gifted in these areas. It's important to remember that this is not a time to be specific. We will concentrate on the objective ways to live our vision out more intentionally as we continue to journey together. Today, the focus is on those main ideas that drive us as a church, make us who we are or who we want to be. Or in other words, what are or what should be the roots of Bangor Liberty Friends Church? What are our roots? The fruit will be the result of the root. How is it that we, Bangor Liberty Friends Church, use both the cross and the towel to love and serve our community in the name of Jesus? What do we have that Jesus can use? What are our 5 loaves and 2 fish? So I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to step aside, and we have microphones available. I just encourage you to share what's on your heart. What do you feel our church is called to be known for? What are our roots? And Isaac's got an interactive PowerPoint working, and so we'll be putting those up. Think of him as the New Age recording clerk of our Quaker-led meeting. So let's pray. Father God, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to lead our hearts. Lord, to strip away everything that is of our flesh so that we might share completely from your Spirit. Lord, as we were reminded this morning in Sunday school, sometimes change is hard. It's painful. But Lord, you're not calling us to remain the same for eternity. We have to change and adapt to speak to the communities around us in tangible ways so that they might come to know your love. Lord, we're asking you for guidance, for vision, to lead our church into the new age so that we might be relevant, Lord, so that our gospel message might be relevant to those around us. So Lord, lead this time. We invite you. Help us to be attentive and responsive to your Spirit. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Before we close, I just want to remind you, I said it in the email, but maybe some of you didn't get it, and it was kind of long, maybe you skipped over parts. This doesn't mean that there's something wrong with Bangor Liberty Friends Church. This is just a way for us to say, God, how can you use us better than you already are? A way to say that we're not just going to settle for how things are, but we trust that God can continue to do better and better things through our willingness. So this is not the end. Day 42 is not where it ends. This is the beginning. The conversation will continue. In one of the books I read, it talked about not getting into a holding pattern. And that's the last thing that I want, is for this to turn into something where it's a holding pattern, where we have this list now, and that's great, and let's look at it a lot. That's not what we want to do. I want to have intentional conversations. As I was sitting here thinking, this 42 days of prayer, for me personally, and maybe you feel differently, but for me personally, this is probably the first time in the 18 months that I've been here where I feel like we are all on the same page. That we all have a genuine understanding together of where we're going. And I think there was probably that in spurts through my time here. You know, this group of people felt this way, and this group of people felt this way. But I think for the first time as a body, as Bangor Liberty Friends Church, we have a genuine sense of, man, we're on the same page. We all want this. We all want to know how to be the church on purpose. And so I pray that that continues, and you know, I'm excited to start having conversations about, okay, now how does this look in real life? Start to get some objectives down, to start to look at our ministries, to look at the things we do, and to say, how does this thing that we're doing fit in with what we feel called to as a church? And maybe not everything will. And then we ask, what do we do with that? And then maybe that leaves room for other things that can be more in line with what we feel called to. So don't feel like this is the end. Don't feel like day 42, I'm done. Let's take a deep breath and be done. No, this is the beginning. Jesus went away for 40 days before he started his ministry. We spent 42 days in prayer, and now it's time to put our feet to the road, the rubber to the road, so to speak. And to remember to continue to revisit those moments of prayer. We can't look at this list and then try really hard and make stuff happen. It all starts with our personal relationship with Jesus. We all have to start at the root and work our way out. And that's a constant revisiting. And I think it's important for us to remember that, to continue that spiritual growth process. One of the things that I was challenged by last Sunday in our Sunday school class was I asked how we as a church did at releasing people into specific ministry. How have we equipped you? How have we allowed you to be a minister in your area? And I didn't get a lot of good responses, and that's something that I really want us to work on, because that's exactly what we feel like we're called to do. And so I want to start meeting with Ministry and Council, with Christian Ed, with other leaders in the church, to really get down some kind of a structure that we can say, we're going to do this stuff on purpose so that people feel equipped and released into ministry. Amen? Amen means let it be so. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for leading this time for us. Lord, I don't know about anyone else here, but I definitely